the second part, which will not be nearly as long. Yesterday, I put together a blog article that I entitled Christians and the Coronavirus, and I already got a little bit of feedback on it that was somewhat appreciative. And I thought I'd share some key points with you today. Not to duplicate what has already been said, but to some degree reinforce. As the guys heard me say when we got together, I think it was last Sunday, at the website we have been getting a good number of questions, at this point maybe three or four, give or take, on the coronavirus. And some of them are like near panic kinds of questions. Where's the virus mentioned in the Bible? Is it going to wipe out all of humanity? Does this mean the end of the world? Very, very, you know, highly concerned. And in some ways, that's not too surprising because, as you and I both know, what's in the news media is often all over the map, right? Somewhat prudent, maybe exaggerated, truth, partial truth, fake truth, just all over the place. And likewise, the response of people and organizations, individuals and organizations, likewise, is kind of all over the map. So what I did yesterday, I pulled together 5 points and put in the blog article, trying to address the topic in terms of, in such uncertain times, what's a faithful Christian to do, according to scriptures, right? Now, number one, I listed number one of five, don't panic, right? Don't panic. Let's first of all recognize that on the one hand, the Bible does not use modern medical terminology like coronavirus, right? Oh, by the way, coronavirus 2020. Roll back the clock. Ebola 2014. SARS 2003. Spanish flu 1918. The Black Death 1300s, etc. Now, certainly in the Bible, you can find things, general terms like pestilence, plague, etc. But too often, when there's a major catastrophe like this, a lot of people, and often those that come from a premillennial perspective, immediately assume, sign of the times, sign of the end times, end of the world, right? But they often forget that such events are routinely, commonly occurring down through the centuries. We forget that. In fact, if you want to, real easy, go to Google a phrase like worst diseases in history. And I was surprised. Boom, 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 boom. It's just all kinds of major epidemics, pandemics, etc., throughout the centuries, dating back before the time of Christ, after the time of Christ, in the first, several hundred years of the Roman Empire, etc., even long before the Black Death, bubonic plague. Anyway, we can't just, certainly not based on the premillennial view that says, the world's coming to an end, right? But also based on history, these things come and they go, right? And yes, they're serious, and yes, people die, but don't panic. As Genesis chapter 8, verses 22 reminds us, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And likewise, as was mentioned in Brian's class, thank you, Brian, I appreciate that, Matthew 24, 38 and 39, where when it talks about, quote unquote, the true end of the world, it will be sudden. And it'll be marked by people doing their normal routine things, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day when it happens, unexpectedly. So don't think the coronavirus is a sign of the end of the world. Because according to the scriptures, and it's certainly not going to wipe out all humanity, according to the scriptures. That's number one. Number two, these kind of events remind us of the brevity of life. Now, having said what I just did about the end of the world, these unsettling kinds of things, they are useful reminders that our life is finite. And I appreciate Jack's prayer along those lines. Too often we get so caught up in the day-to-day, doing our thing, going about life like the scoffers. Hey, things have always continued on. They will continue on. What am I planning to do tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? Retire, etc. Okay. And yet, Job chapter 14:1 reminds us, man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower, withers, flees like a shadow, continues not. Or Psalms 90, 10 through 12. The years of our life are 20, or even by reason of strength, 80. Did I say 20? Nah. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble, and they are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Life is brief, and these events serve to remind us of that. So from that perspective, it serves a valuable purpose. Number three out of the five. I titled it, Do What is Honorable. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men. Other translations, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, etc. Now, certainly we can see how that applies when it comes to complying with public health precautions. Like Virgil mentioned, you know, washing your hands, don't cover your mouth, don't touch your face. I've done that a couple times today and caught myself. It itches, I want to scratch it. Staying home if you're sick, social distancing, don't hoard supplies, etc. And so we certainly see that. But wouldn't these kinds of things also apply when people, or when dealing with other people who are stressed out, or short-tempered, or even in a panic trying to get that last roll of toilet paper on the store shelf? I still haven't figured that one out. Faithful Christians can certainly be a source of positive encouragement to those around them during these trying times. Helpful, friendly, courteous. It often can be a time potentially to guide the conversation into discussion about spiritual matters. As Matthew 5, 14 through 16 points out, we are the light of the world. Right? That's number three. Number four, and again, Virgil touched on this one. When all else fails, and especially if you have no control, which we often have less control than what we think we have, especially when we think we're so high and mighty with all of our technology, a lot of things are beyond our control. What can we do? Pray. We can always pray, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceable and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And of course, that means we got to get out of our own shell and our own woe is me attitude, if we've got one. Focus on others. As I think Jack mentioned in his prayer, government leaders, and of course, I'm thinking more about the current crisis, government leaders, doctors, nurses, medical researchers, other healthcare professionals, the elderly, and honestly, in this congregation, that's a lot of us, and I say us, 16 above, special, at risk, those negatively impacted from the financial perspective, cut work hours, job closures, etc. That's number four. Number five, which I think is the last one, draw closer to God and your family. How about that one? Now, in many cases, travel has been curtailed, businesses have cut back their hours, schools have closed, workers encouraged to work from home, etc. You may have some spare time on your hands. Okay. What an excellent opportunity to spend some extra time with God's Word, with your family, both physical and spiritual, so long as you observe certain social distancing kinds of things, of course. Now, obviously, we shouldn't view these events as an excuse, and I emphasize excuse, not to worship God publicly. And yet, at the same time, as Virgil pointed out, conscientious Christians are going to be concerned, right, that these circumstances are going to, in one way or another, somewhat threaten or disrupt public worship, just like today, right, when you first came in. Some Christians may feel, and we talked about this last Sunday, some Christians may feel compelled to attend even if they don't feel well. Please don't. Some Christians may be compelled to attend if their medical condition or age puts them at an elevated risk of being in the public and contracting the disease. Other Christians may get upset if any changes at all need to be made to accommodate public health safety concerns. Now, these are, as Virgil points out, these are interesting challenges, trying times, people are stressed, etc. And likewise, we as Christians are trying to do what's right, right? And that's, you know, first and foremost. And it's an interesting challenge because all different kinds of things are coming into play, right? You have things like, yes, we know we're supposed to obey civil government, which we did this morning as you came into the building. You know, Romans 13, 1 and 2. And yet, as I think Virgil pointed out, this is not without restriction. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, obeying God rather than men. Also, at the same time, we need to distinguish between what is scriptural as a pattern versus what matters of opinion, matters of judgment. Distinguish between what's wrong from what may be just different than what we're used to. And also be careful about how we treat one another when it comes to matters of conscience. You know, Romans 14, verses 13. All different kinds of factors at play, right? That we have to very carefully consider for ourselves and one another. Or as Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3 points out, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, in all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, one of the things I'd personally like to make is almost like a small personal remark. You know, again, we saw some changes this morning. Virgil mentioned we're meeting afterwards. I really appreciate our ability to adapt. We did it this morning, went on forward, conducted our services as much like we have, many ways like we have before, decently, in order, accomplished the five acts of worship, despite sudden change. And I really appreciate that. Appreciate everyone's patience, appreciate, you know, everyone's good attitude as we, and again, going back to what Virgil said, as we work together as a congregation through these various challenges. And as Brian's class pointed out, in many ways, bottom line, it boils down to a matter of perspective. Right? Try not to get caught up in the panic of the day. We as faithful Christians need to take the long view. As one of our songs says, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Likewise, very applicable, Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 25, talks about being anxious for your life. Passage goes on to say, God knows you need these things, right? Or God knows you're going through these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. You could also read that as literally tomorrow or today. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Or as Martha sometimes says, yeah, taking one day at a time. Right? And as Brian's class pointed out, you know, as faithful Christians, we should be eagerly looking forward to the prospect of eternal life in heaven and try not to get overly concerned or panicked about what's going on in this life. So just thought I would add that from my own perspective. Now we'll transition to the invitation. There's a lot going on. And as I said before, that may promote thoughts in people's minds of their own mortality or reevaluating their lives or their position with God or relationships with fellow Christians, etc. So we wanted to give an opportunity for people to respond if indeed you're quote unquote, your heart, your mind, your emotions have been touched this morning, whether to become a Christian, to repent as a Christian, or the prayers of the congregation. Since we're in a little bit of a unique situation, if someone upstairs wants to do that, it's easy. You can come forward. If someone downstairs wants to do that, just come up to one of the auditorium doors and, you know, open the door and poke your head through, and we will accommodate you the best we can as we now stand and sing.